Four outside linebackers were injured at Thursday's Green Bay Packers training camp practice, opening the door to several young players on the team. To break down the situation at outside linebacker position in Titletown, we're joined by Scott McKenna of the Talkin' Smack blog. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV and 24/7 Sports. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking Packers training camp today. We're doing a little bit of a family night preview as we have joining us for his monthly engagement on the show, Scott McKenna of the Talkin' Smack blog. Scott, how you doing today?
I'm great, Brian. Good to hear the voice again.
Good to hear you as well. We're glad to have you on the show. Kind of interesting set of circumstances. We're going to focus on the outside linebacker position for today's show, kind of in light of all the injuries that have happened early in training camp. Perhaps the good news, maybe none of them serious, but still a slight concern. And then the door that's open for several of the young guys on the team. So we're going to start by kind of running through some of these injuries and our level of concern. And Scott, I'll kick off our discussion today with maybe the Packers' best defensive player on the whole team, Clay Matthews. He missed his third consecutive practice. Well, practice is currently going on as we speak. So if Clay Matthews isn't back right now, as we're talking, this will be the fourth consecutive practice with knee soreness. Now Matthews and Mike McCarthy seem to be downplaying this injury, but what is your level of concern?
Well, absolutely. Anytime there's a knee that is the problem, there's absolutely room for concern. There's no doubt about it. And also we know that Matthews has had somewhat of a history of being injured and, maybe not always being the quickest of players to recover. So, there's absolutely room for concern. My hope is that this is strictly a precautionary measure. And as you're saying, this could present, you know, with the timing of it, it could provide opportunity to see what we have with some of the youths on the roster. So if you want to spin it that way, this could end up being a good thing for the long-term health of the roster this year. But for right now, anytime you see number 52 with an injured knee, regardless of how minute that may be, there's absolutely significant room for concern.
Clay, I mean, we could sit here and debate whether Clay Matthews is an inside linebacker or an outside linebacker. I guess the bigger point is that he has been playing and practicing both, and we're not really debating that issue today, but it is kind of opening the door for other young players. Okay, meanwhile, Nick Perry missed his first practice of training camp on Thursday with a groin injury, and Nick Perry's the kind of guy who just can't seem to shake this injured reputation. Is it all getting to the point where Perry should be worried about even having a roster spot, Scott?
You know, when you go into a season with Perry and with Neal on the roster and guys that are anticipated to play big roles, for the team this year, that is truly on a path that we all hope is going to a Super Bowl. You have to be prepared for both of them to be missing time. It's just been a very consistent and constant thing that has happened through each and every year of their tenure on the Packers roster. So, I think again, hoping that with Neal and with Perry, that some of this stuff is just precautionary and, opening the gates for others to get a crack who are definitely in developmental stages you know, of their professional career to be able to position the Packers to truly have the depth that is required on the defensive side of the ball to stick with the duration of a tough, grinded out 16-game season.
Just to recap Perry's injury history, he dealt with a broken wrist his rookie year, a broken heel his second year, and even though he played the majority of last season, we found out he had off-season shoulder surgery and then missed a majority of the off-season program. So no small worry here with Nick Perry as he kind of continues this trend of being injured. Mike Neal has been on the PUP list since training camp opened. He also missed the entire off-season program, and he's another guy with an injury reputation. Although I do give him credit for playing in all 16 games in each of the last two seasons, what's your level of frustration with Mike Neal?
You know, Einstein's definition of insanity, I can kind of apply here. You know, it's like you can't necessarily expect anything different here. You kind of, when the preseason pop list comes out, you kind of anticipate or expect to see Neal's list or name on the list. I can agree with you. He was at least available over, all games over the last couple of years. There's no doubt about it. His ability to make game in and game out impact was not necessarily. With that said, you know, McCarthy talks about availability all of the time and how crucial that is to the sustainability of an individual on the roster. And you know, it's one of those things, and not to continue to harp on it, but at this stage of training camp and of preseason, you just really got to hope that there's just significant precaution, you know, being utilized here and truly giving the depth, the vast majority of the staffs right here to truly see what we have on this roster. As we know, the Packers have always valued not just players 1 through 10 on the roster, but 1 through 53. And they oftentimes expect all 53 players on the roster to at some point in the season make an impact. And, you know, I'm one of the people that, that genuinely believes that players, you know, 45 to 53 can oftentimes make or break the success of a roster and a team throughout the course of a season. So, you know, I'm gonna spin it where I do. Yes, it's absolutely frustrating that that Neal is out. You kind of expect it, as I mentioned, but hopefully this will give us a really good chance to take a deep look at the players that are gonna fill out the bottom of the roster, and at some point likely gonna be called upon to try and make an impact. You know, in a regular game, a regular season game that. Is oftentimes the difference between a team finishing, you know, 9-7 or 11-5 when it's all said and done.
Mike McCarthy has said Mike Neal is close to returning. We'll see exactly how close that remains to be seen. Another player dealing with a groin injury is Adrian Hubbard, a guy I think most people wish was taking advantage of all these other injuries, but he's been sidelined too. What do you think of the odds of Hubbard making the 53-man roster this season?
You know, the Hubbard injury, if you were to mention frustrations with somebody, it would be with Hubbard. Because coming out of Alabama, I really thought that he had a chance to be an undrafted free agent gem for Ted Thompson and the Green Bay Packers. He's got great length. He played a similar position at Alabama. If you look at the intangibles that you expect out of somebody in order to be successful at outside linebacker in the 3-4, you know, you want somebody who can hold the edge in the run game. He can certainly do that when he plays with leverage, which he doesn't always do. But when he plays with leverage, he can utilize his arm length to extend himself, and he's strong enough to hold off a tackle. You know, you want somebody who can drop in coverage. I think he can do that nearly as good as anybody on the roster, with the exception of Clay Matthews, I think he can. He's agile. He can move side to side real well. And the other thing you look for is burst off the snap. And you know, he's he showed glimpses of that, or flashes of brilliance, if you will. You know, at the college level and last year in the preseason, he had some really good moments. So he's the kind of guy that you pull for. I'm really hoping he can, you know, stay healthy and utilize all of his talents to truly put them on display. Because if so, I think he could genuinely make a strong push to be on the roster and be a guy that could be used in a rotation. With that said, if he's not going to be available, it's going to give guys like Malumba and Elliott a chance to surpass him and to give themselves a wide enough distance that Hubbard might not be able to make up. And with that said, if I were to put odds on him or a percentage on him making the roster, the 53-man roster at this stage, I would say it's, you know, roughly 33%. I'd give him a 1 in 3 chance, or 1 in 3 chance, to be able to make the roster at this stage, which, quite frankly, is lower than I would have anticipated a year ago if we'd have had this conversation, because I really like his talent and what he can bring to the defense from a versatility perspective.
I'm there too, and hopefully he'll get back soon. I mean, missing a few days of practice is really, in the grand scheme of things, no big deal, but you would certainly like to see him return at least in time for the preseason games. You know, if he misses family night, well, no big deal. But you'd like to see him in those games. We're talking to Scott McKenna of the Talkin' Smack blog here on a Friday morning at Railbird Central as Packers practice is going on as we speak. All right, let's get to some of the young guys getting time in place of these injured players. Andy Malumba was working with the starters yesterday at Packers practice. Do you think Malumba is actually capable of playing at a starting caliber player level in the NFL?
Malumba is a guy you just have to root for, you know, especially when you get to know his background as an individual. He's easy to cheer for. He's a guy that really did well for the Packers. I thought at times as a rookie undrafted free agent, I thought he exceeded expectations, to say the least. A lot of people will remember him sort of hobbling around chasing Kaepernick on a crucial third down. But what people forget there is he was fighting through an injury. And when the Packers were, their depth had been rotten away. I look at Malumba as a guy that is a play in and play out fighter. He's a guy, great work rate. He's a guy that, is he ever going to be a superstar pass rusher? I doubt it. But he's a player that adds really solid depth. He brings really nice ability to special teams, and he can do all facets of the 3-4 outside linebacker position just good enough. He's not going to be excellent, I don't envision, at any of the things that you really highlight at the position, but he's good enough to where he can fit into a rotation. He can give a guy like Peppers a breather if needed, and you aren't going to be wincing with pain as a fan watching it. And additionally, when a guy like Neal or Perry is out in the regular season, Malumba's a guy that can step in and truly make an impact in a game. So really pulling for him. I'm happy to see it. It appears as though he's come back full swing from the injury last year, and excited that he's back in camp.
Yeah, I've wrote about it at 24/7 Sports. The biggest thing with Andy Malumba early in camp is how well he's looked coming off the injury, just seemingly not impacting him whatsoever. I've said he looks good moving forward, backwards, laterally, and that's huge for a guy coming off a torn ACL. Jayrone Elliott is another guy receiving increased reps at practice, with all these injured players gone. Do you expect Jayrone Elliott to make a big jump in year two?
You could look at all of the players on the roster coming from year one to year two, and my argument would be is that the Packers truly require Elliott to make as big of a jump as anybody from year to year one to year two. And I know that's a big thing in McCarthy's locker room. He preaches it often, that jump from year one to year two, internal player development. The Packers need Elliott as much, if not more, than anybody else making that transition to seriously take a jump. And it would, you know, it's not an absolute requirement for him to have a repeat of what he did last year in the preseason, where he was truly dominant against second and third stringers. Mm-hmm. But now there's expectations with him. And last year when he was playing, he kind of came in and was just fighting for his life. Well, now he's an incumbent. Now he's a guy that has been on the roster, saw some success, made some plays late in the year last year. And when you look at what the Packers are trying to do with Matthews, and I've talked previously as to what I thought they would do with Peppers, especially on third down. Well, you're taking arguably two of your two best pass rushers, and you're taking them away from what would be an outside linebacker position. Those are two voids that need to be filled. And I think that that needs to be Elliott. When I look at the roster and I think about who's truly a pass rusher, mm-hmm. and Elliott is a pure pass rusher. And I think that his jump is in year one from year two is a crucial step to the outcome of the season. I really, really believe that. Somewhere along the line, the Packers need to find another guy who can apply pressure from out at the outside linebacker position. And I think from what we've seen previously, Elliott appears to be the guy that is best suited to fill that role.
Yeah, late last season, the Packers found ways to put Elliott in on defense from time to time. By no means was he out there playing a lot, but there were certain packages and using him on a rotational basis they found a way to do, and hopefully that only increases in year two in the NFL for Jayrone Elliott. Very interested to see what he's going to do the rest of training camp and the preseason here. And maybe if we talk about two other guys who should get a nice long look at family night, our rookies James Vaughters and Jamaria Rasko. What kind of expectations do you have for these two rookie free agents the Packers signed?
Well, with Vaughters, and I know you wrote something about him being a special teams dynamo, possibly. Mm-hmm. With that said, I really thought Vaughters might be one of the guys that they transitioned immediately to inside linebacker, much like they've done this year with Bradford and
Palmer.
Palmer as well. And additionally, what they did with Matthews last year, they're taking an outside linebacker and bring him to the inside. I thought that that was where Vaughters maybe, fit best. He might be too stiff to make that transition. But as an outside linebacker, I don't have huge expectations for what he's going to be bringing, to be candid. I'm not sure that he's strong enough to hold the edge. I'm not sure that he's quick enough off the ball, and I'm not sure that he has the burst to really get around the edge, against the elite tackles and ballers today. So, I don't have huge expectations, candidly speaking, with him as an outside linebacker. Hope I'm wrong. But when I watched him, in college and you watched him in his, in his All-Star game, I just really felt that he might transition better to an inside linebacker space than to an outside linebacker at the next level. And if he was going to play an outside linebacker position, it might be best suited in a traditional 4-3 rather than a nailed in a 3-4. Mm-hmm. We'll see, and will be an interesting thing to watch. With Rasko, he's an interesting name because he was kind of lost in the shuffle a little bit at LSU. Another thing to note, for my mind anyways, is that you look at a lot of these guys from LSU in the past, and they had a lot of players that played in the front seven that were dominant at the college level and didn't necessarily transition as well at the NFL level, where in their secondary, they've had a bunch of superstars come out of the, at the NFL, are from LSU. So, the Rasko thing is interesting because he has such ideal length. He showed moments of greatness, but the consistency and was not necessarily there. And maybe it was because he never got into a rhythm. Maybe he wasn't a guy that at the college level was mentally fit to be able to play in a rotation. And you know how that would translate to the NFL at the early stages. I know that might not be in his favor, but what could be interesting is if he's going to be seeing snaps consistently in the preseason against third stringers, well, could he be a guy that has a preseason similar to what Elliott had last year?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But you know, I would say when you look at what would be a best case scenario for him at this stage, that might be a Rascal might be the kind of guy that becomes, and this is not a prediction, just maybe a hope, but he becomes sort of the preseason darling this year if anybody was going to be, you know, coming of age at that outside linebacker position from the fans' perspective.
You know, it always seems to happen in training camp that an outside linebacker emerges. You know, last year it was Elliott, and if you remember a few years ago, Desmond Moses was like this huge thing in the preseason. Unfortunately, it didn't always translate to the regular season, but regardless, maybe we'll see somebody else emerge this year. And you know, I just might want to add here with James Vaughters, I am encouraged about him holding the edge because I think he is very, very strong. I do have questions about him rushing the passer and having that quickness to be able to rush the passer, but hopefully maybe he can be a run stuffer there at outside linebacker. Again, it's just a guess at this point at the NFL level until we see more. But maybe here, Scott, to wrap up the conversation about Julius Peppers, and the last time you were on the show, we talked about the defensive line, and we talked about Peppers there. Again, you can make the argument whether he's an outside linebacker or a defensive end or whatever, but, you know, he practices with the outside linebackers in Green Bay. I, with all these injuries, how much do you actually play Julius Peppers in at family night in the preseason? Are you worried at all about exposing him to injury and keeping him fresh?
I would think that they need to really limit his snaps here, not just on family night, but throughout the preseason. And, you know, I think it's the Packers' ultimate vision to maybe limit his snaps throughout the duration of most of the year. And that eventually when it's all said and done, if in a perfect world, if there can be health found at the, you know, with everybody else at the outside linebacker position, we may see, you know, 20 to 25% of his snaps ultimately being played at maybe even a defensive tackle position and with him being a real forceful pass rusher from the inside on third downs or on passing downs as a whole. So, you know, I definitely think you have to limit Peppers' snaps, you know, truly throughout the preseason. Maybe you don't even suit him up, you know, the first preseason game. And the second preseason game, you may give him a series or two. And, you know, you play him a quarter and a half in the third one. And a guy like him, and then who knows in the fourth one. But a guy like him, he's a seasoned veteran. He needs less contact this time of year, and I think that I would be more concerned right now about protecting his body than anything else really in this in training camp and into the preseason.
Very good, Scott. As usual, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's always good to have your perspective on the Green Bay Packers, and the next time you're on the show, it'll be the day after the Packers' final preseason game. So I will probably be going over the final roster and making our predictions by then.
Looking forward to it as always, man. Great to hear the voice, and go Pack Go.
All right, sounds good. Thanks for joining us. Scott McKenna of the Talkin' Smack blog joining us here at Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports on a Friday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue our conversation here with
Packers News of the Day.
On this Friday, I'll go over a few things here. And I'll start with a conversation I want to have dating back to yesterday's practice, Thursday's practice in Green Bay, kind of this thing that's been building over the past, since training camp open, Aaron Rodgers throwing interceptions at practice. And you have maybe heard it that it's happening with a little more frequency than maybe you're comfortable with. Because Aaron Rodgers, first of all, is one of the guys who has one of the best reputations in the NFL for protecting the football, as one of the lowest. In fact, it might be the lowest interception rate in NFL history, you know, for guys who have, you know, a certain amount of attempts. So there's something you're not expected to hear. Aaron Rodgers getting picked off. And it's especially happened with the rookies on the Green Bay Packers roster. And from that perspective, I mean, you can be really encouraged that guys like Ladarius Gunter, who had picked off Aaron Rodgers yesterday, and Demarius Randall has done the same during training camp. And that's all really good for these rookies. But you know, maybe you're kind of wondering, why is Aaron Rodgers getting picked off by rookies of anyone? You know, you'd think that maybe if anybody was doing it, it might be Sam Shields or a guy who's been around for a while, who's been around the block. Here's the thing. Don't be concerned. Don't be concerned. This is practice. And in practice, they take a lot more chances than usual. And part of it has to do because Aaron Rodgers, I'm sure you've seen pictures of him, if you haven't seen him in person at training camp, if you go there, wearing the red jersey, the non-contact jersey. Obviously the Packers wear green and white, but the quarterbacks wear red, so it kind of like sticks out and be like, don't hit this guy. Obviously, you don't want to be, you know, hitting your star player and a guy who's the quarterbacks who are just in general the backups in a vulnerable position so often in the game of football. So you want to keep them healthy in a practice environment. But with that comes, if he were, you know, live, if he wasn't wearing a red jersey, you know, from time to time, Aaron Rodgers would be sacked at practice. And there are situations where, yeah, he would probably be sacked, but the guys just let him go. And so the play continues, you know, and Aaron Rodgers, you know, in a situation where maybe he would have a tough time finding a receiver, or maybe a situation in which there's would be a coverage sack in which the secondary does really good and Aaron Rodgers would throw the ball away. Well, in a practice environment, you know, that there's very little gained from throwing an incompletion on purpose. You know, certainly during a game, that would be very smart in certain situations too. You don't want to risk a turnover. So, you know, the lesser of all evils, you throw an incompletion and you live to play another down. Well, in practice, who gives a flying, you know what, go for it. And why they do that in practice is because it's also a learning experience. And it's not just Aaron Rodgers. This happens with quarterbacks at all levels and around the NFL. What they do is they learn what they're capable of doing. Aaron Rodgers will uncork a high risk throw, and if he completes it, he kind of learns, well, I can get away with this. I'm good enough to do it. And so they learn what they're capable of doing, and they learn what they're not capable of doing. If Aaron Rodgers throws a risky pass and gets picked off, the next time that kind of situation comes around in a game, you know, he learns, okay, I'm not going to do this in a game environment. I'm going to be smart. I'm just going to throw it out of bounds or throw it, you know, into the turf, and it'll be incomplete. And then you go back to work. The next down comes up. So if you were worried, don't worry. Aaron Rodgers throwing interceptions in practice, not a big deal, even if it's happening with a little more frequency than you're comfortable with. No big deal here. And in fact, good news for the rookies like Ladarius Gunner and Demarius Randall and Quentin. I don't think Quentin Rounds has picked off Aaron Rodgers, but I think he has picked off other quarterbacks on the rosters in practice. So good news for the Packers rookie cornerbacks. All right. Other things, other topics. If we talk about injuries here for a second, Eddie Lacy came back to practice on Thursday, which is good. He kind of sat out of he dropped out of Tuesday's practice with what's been described by Mike McCarthy as foot soreness. And you could kind of be, you know, sit there and think, oh, a little bit concerned just because, you know, Eddie Lacy had that surgery on his toe, fusion surgery coming out of college. And you're like, I hope that's not flaring up. Well, this looked to be rather minor that he dropped out on Tuesday. Probably more of a precautionary thing than anything. And he was back on Thursday and kind of continuing the injury discussion to today's practice. Like I said, practice is happening as we speak. So pardon me if I'm not fully up to date on all the injuries. But from what I saw on social media on Twitter just prior to coming on the show, it looks like fellow running back John Crockett is finally off the PUP list and practicing for the first time on Friday, which is great news. Here's a guy who sprained his ankle back during minicamp in June and had, you know, since the opening of training camp been placed on the PUP list and you know, had missed the first week. And you know, it's getting to the point where, boy, he's got to get back if he has a chance of making this team because other guys are taking advantage. Rajon Neal, Alonzo Harris, both having encouraging training camps for the Green Bay Packers. So, great to see John Crockett back, and especially, you know, if he's practicing today, that means he's going to get the opportunity, as long as he doesn't suffer any setbacks, to practice at family night on Saturday in front of a sold-out Lambeau Field. That is a great experience for him and all players. Unfortunately, on the flip side of the coin, it looks like we have at least two more subtractions from the practice environment. Defensive lineman Mike Pennell and tight end Mitchell Henry reportedly not practicing on Friday. That's unfortunate. I don't really know the extent of their injury. There were no reports of them dropping out previous day on Thursday. So I suppose maybe you could read into that saying that their injuries probably aren't very serious. If whatever happened, they practiced through it. And now maybe it's a precautionary thing because they didn't drop out on Friday. They were out since the beginning. They're not even suited up for today's practice. So I don't know. We're going to wait to hear more. As usual, Mike McCarthy gives an update during his press conference after practice. And if you're just interested in watching that, it's always streamed live on Packers.com, probably somewhere right around the 11 o'clock hour as it's typically been happening. The day before family night, they might have a little shorter practice today. I'm not sure. So anyway, just check it out, Packers.com, and you may have to stay tuned to find out when it happens. But anyway, so here we go with the next segment.
The day ahead.
What's happening today, like I've said many times, practice currently as we speak. I think one of the interesting things about today, Friday is the training camp tour stop for veteran football writer Peter King, who happens to be in practice today. Peter King, of course, of the Sports Illustrated's MMQB website. And a former guest on Railbird Central, by the way. But Peter King, so you can expect coverage of Packers training camp at the MMQB. So make sure to check that out. I'm sure later in the day he'll share his thoughts on what he saw. So I'm excited to read about that and think you should be as well. I mean, extra football coverage, no matter what the outlet, is always a good thing. So excited about that. And he's apparently hosting a quote unquote tweet up Friday evening at the Brass Tap in Greenfield, Wisconsin. So Milwaukee suburb. If you happen to live in the area, you can go see Peter King and others on the MMQB staff talk some football Friday evening. But this is the last day of training camp prior to family night, which will take place Saturday evening at Lambeau Field, kind of always the biggest event of Packers training camp. Just a practice, but a practice held in front of a sold-out stadium. So it's kind of one of those situations where they get, work, with crowd noise and dealing with those kind of things. Mike McCarthy expressed how it's always a good opportunity for special teams because they're working on the 100-yard field, whereas that there isn't a true 100-yard field on their practice surface at Reinicke Field or inside the Don Hutson Center. So those are good things, good opportunities for them to work on. That's why Family Night is special. But, I mean, just practicing at Lambeau Field in front of 70,000-plus cheering fans, that's always a good thing. And it's televised regionally on the Packers TV network. But if you happen to live outside the region, you live in another state or you live in another country, don't worry. It's usually streamed live on Fox11Online.com. And hey, if you want that, you remember several weeks ago, but we're talking, early May? We had Drew Smith of Fox 11 join us for kind of a behind-the-scenes look at Family Night. So maybe you should go through the Railbird Central archives to listen to that show prior to Family Night. Maybe I'll tweet that out because it really was interesting. Here's the guy who kind of acts as the in-stadium and television host of the program of the night. And it's always a cool event. So excited to see the Packers in action Saturday night in Lambeau Field. That's what we're looking forward to this weekend. So that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central here at Cheesehead TV and 24/7 Sports. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening to us today. We'll be back again on Monday for another episode as we get ready for the preseason next week. But for now, we'll see you later. Thanks to Scott McKenna for joining us on the show today. And thanks to you, the listener, for joining us. As usual, my call to action, please give us a rating on iTunes. Railbird Central is always free, no subscription, no paywall. And the one small thing we ask is that you give us a rating on iTunes. One small thing. Anyway, we'll see you, folks. I leave it today with a song called Different Light by Steve Winwood on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go, Pack, go.